This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Wisconsin stop on PGA Tour Champions is back on the 2021 schedule. The tournament will be played June 11th through the 13th at University Ridge Golf Course, with a star-studded field featuring tournament host Steve Stricker and defending champion Jerry Kelly. This great event has raised more than $10.2 million for local charities since its debut in 2016. A limited number of tickets are on sale on the tournament's website at amfamchampionship.com. We welcome you into Talking.Golf, a very special edition. Today, it is our What's Up segment powered by @wis.golf on Instagram. That's right, Wisconsin.Golf's presence on Instagram is growing with the help of our newest team member, Megan Augustine. Give us a follow on Instagram at wis.golf. And of course, this week it's the PGA Championship, and we're honored to have joining us here my sidekick, Gary D'Amato, direct from Kiawah Island. And Gary, it's been a blast to watch this major championship. The leaderboard is riveting. We've got Phil Mickelson atop of the heap as we record this podcast here on a Friday afternoon. You can't ask for anything better than that at this stage in the proceedings, can you?
No, Rob. You know, I'm not sure how it looks on TV, but, you know, when you walk the course out there, it's just spectacular. It is so hard. The conditions are so difficult, Rob. In fact, I'm writing a column for tomorrow on how, you know, there's a lot of courses that claim to be the toughest major venue in championship golf. Oakmont can lay that, make claim to that. Pebble Beach in the wind is awfully tough. Wingfoot, you know, there was a massacre there in 1974. But I think the ocean course tops them all as far as toughness. When the wind is blowing here, which it does almost every day, this course is just a monster. It's so tough. And to see Phil, you know, shoot 300 today and move to the top of leaderboard, it's just that's very impressive for a 50-year-old man. For anybody, for a 25-year-old man, it's impressive.
It was a 3-under par 69 that got him back in the contention. And Gary, to your point, he started on 10. Went out in 2 over 38. Those closing holes on the golf course, 13 through 18, really difficult all week long. But then there is some relief, what we're hearing statistically on the front nine. And he made 5 birdies and a 5 under 31 and capping it with a birdie on number 9 that drew quite a roar from the gallery that was there. It's great to have fans back, especially when Phil's in contention. But can you describe the difference between the front nine and back nine and why? You know, you better make your hay early on the weekend, because I'm sure everyone will be starting off of one once they make the cut.
Yeah, Rob, you know, as Steve Stricker said yesterday, you got to try to get as many as you can under par before you get to 14, because at 14, the rest of the holes, 14 through 18, turn into the wind. And when it's blowing 25 miles per hour, and you're, you know, 17 is a really long par 3, and 16 is a long par 5, and a couple of long par 4s thrown in there. 18 is a tough hole. Even with no wind, these holes are tough. But when you throw a 25-mile-per-hour wind into your face, you know, these guys are hitting clubs into greens that they're just not used to hitting. You know, having 210, 220 yards into par 4s, and having a 200-yard par 3 that probably plays 240 into the wind. So you got to try to make some hay on those first 13 holes and then just kind of buckle your chin strap and hold on those last 5.
Gary, what's the windiest course that you've ever played, and how does it compare to what you've been walking and seeing this week?
Rob, you know, I have played in Ireland and Scotland, and I played a course called Old Head in Scotland, in County Cork. And the wind blew probably 35, 40 miles per hour that day. It was just brutal. I don't think this quite compares to that, but considering this is championship golf and a major championship, the PGA Championship, having a wind in the 20s on this place is awfully difficult to deal with.
The aerials that they're showing from the tournament on ESPN and on the early round coverage here, breathtaking. I forgot what a beautiful setting Kiawah Island is, and especially the ocean course. You know, you've got the two nines that kind of come out from the sides of the clubhouse. And then am I seeing the driving range going out towards the ocean?
The driving range is sort of parallel to the ocean, and it plays into the prevailing wind. And Shane Lowry was kind of joking in his news conference a little while ago. He said, you know, it starts on the driving range when you're hit driver and you're looking, they have a big TrackMan screen. And he said, you're looking up in that screen and seeing your driver flying 240 and you're going, this is going to be a tough day. So yeah, you stand on that driving range and watch those flags whipping in the wind at you. And it's got to be a little disconcerting to some of these guys.
You mentioned earlier, Steve Stricker, Madison's very own, with what appears to be a round today, good enough to make the cut. He, like Phil Mickelson, started on 10, played bogey-free golf on that backside, which at Steve's age is a pretty good feat, one under 35, makes a holes a chip for eagle on number two, then goes bogey-bogey, starts to kind of drop back towards the cut line, but five straight pars, and he continues to inch up that leaderboard. When he walked off the course, I think he was, or when he made those two bogeys, he was at T77. Of course, the top 70 in ties go on to the weekend, but he's all the way up to T53. He looks safe for the weekend. I know you're waiting to talk to him, Gary, but what did you make out of Steve's round today in round two?
Yeah, I followed Steve on his first nine, which was the back nine, as you said. He missed about a 5-foot birdie putt on 10 on his first hole. And he immediately walked off the green, and I know he's been a little frustrated with his putter of late, and I kind of thought, oh boy, you know, this might be a tough one. But he came back with a birdie on number 11, then he missed a short birdie putt on number 12. But after that, he played really, really solid golf. I did not follow him on his back nine, but I believe he holed a 55-yard shot for that eagle, is what ShotLink says. So I'll wait to talk to him about that. So that eagle, the Ocean Course Odom won after the triple he made yesterday. So it was nice to come back with that eagle. And then he made a couple bogeys after that, but got it in at one under, which, like you said, it looks like it's going to be plenty good enough to make the cut.
Yeah, they did show the hole out on ESPN, Gary, and it looked like about a 50-yarder. Took two hops and went in the cup. He high-fived Nikki, his wife, and caddy this week. And a big grin, because I think he knew exactly, how big that was. He went from one over one under at the time to three under for the round, and it kind of got him back, on the friendly side of par overall. I think he got him to almost back to even. And then, like I said, the two bogeys. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. Gary, as we look at this leaderboard here, as we record this here mid-afternoon, your time out there on the East Coast, 25 golfers under par, a lot of them at one under. And right now, as we said, Phil Mickelson leading the way by one over Louis Oosthuizen, who's still on the course, just missed a birdie putt before we started recording to try to tie. Brandon Grace and then Christian Bezuidenhout, another one of our challenging pronunciations for Gary and me, at three under par. And then Corey Connors, who had the lead after a 67, comes back with a 75. Gary Woodland, Kevin Streelman, Sungjae Im, Paul Casey, Tyrell Hatton, Martin Laird, Victor Hovland, all at two under par. Really early to call this race, Gary, as windy as it is. But as we kind of look ahead to the weekend, what are your expectations for what we can expect the final two rounds at Kiawah?
I think it's going to be a bunch leaderboard all the way to the end, Rob. I don't think anyone's going to separate himself from his field, as we saw Rory do, in 2012 when he won by eight here. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think we're going to have, 20 players, going into Sunday with a chance to win, if not more. And, it's going to be just a matter of who can control his ball on the wind, who can control his nerves, and any one of those guys, could emerge. I kind of thought like Brooks Koepka after he opened up with a solid round yesterday with a 69, but I see he's made a couple of bogeys early in his round today and has fallen now four shots off the lead. But keep an eye on Brooks still. I think he's going to be there at the end.
Bryson DeChambeau playing the front nine this afternoon, one under par on the day. But again, the easy part of the golf course, how does his length translate out there, Gary, in terms of being able to flight balls and keep it below the wind?
His length, is an advantage everywhere if he can hit it straight, Rob. And, he's hit a few wild ones. And what happens in this wind when you hit one offline and with the spin on the ball just gets exacerbated by the wind and it blows, 20 yards farther left or right than it would, almost any other place. So Bryson, has that advantage of length, but he's got to be able to hit fairways like everybody else here. He's got to hit fairways here. And I see that as a stumbling block to him. You know, if he doesn't move up the leaderboard, it's going to be because he hits too many wild shots.
And lastly, as we wrap up our what's up portion of conversation on the PGA Championship, the in terms of the leaderboard on the weekend, is there any one guy up there that you think could make a jump? And I guess how this is going to be, it's going to be a different moving day on Saturday, isn't it, Gary? Because you're going to see a lot of people move backwards. So when we're if you're moving up on Saturday, you might be shooting even par one over and gaining a lot of ground. Am I not? Is that kind of the philosophy there?
I think so, Rob. I think tomorrow you shoot one or two under and you're anywhere starting the day within, you know, four shots of the lead, you're going to be right there. And when I look at that leaderboard, one name that kind of stands out, Rob, is Gary Woodland, who's currently tied for fifth at two under. He's three shots off the lead, but you know, he's a major champion. And he came in the interview area a little while ago and talked about how confident he is. He's played really well the last two or three weeks. He feels very confident, he said, walking up and down these fairways. And I don't know if you can say that for a lot of guys. So there's another guy to keep an eye on, I think, is Gary Woodland.
Well, a lot of fun stuff coming up here the rest of the weekend. We'll talk a little more about the PGA Championship and our Ryder Cup report later here on Talking.Golf. Quickly, before we wrap up, what's up? Gary, we need to talk about Casey Danielson winning her first Symetra Tour event last week in a playoff over Fatima Fernandez Cano. That moves Casey up to number four on the Symetra money list. Obviously, top 10 at the end of the year receive LPGA Tour status. But boy, anytime you can win and get, I think she pocketed over $26,000 for that win. That's a lot of money in one fell swoop on a tour where if you don't win, you're talking about maybe a four-digit paycheck, not a whole lot. Nice to see Casey finally break through.
Yeah, Rob, and even more, I'm sure the money really helps, but even more than that, more important than that is the fact that she moved up to number five now on the Symetra Tour money list, which, you know, if she can hold that position, will gain her LPGA status for next year. So I'm sure that's much more important to her than any paycheck she cashes at this point in her career, is making it to the LPGA, and that victory put her in good stead to do that now.
Absolutely. So we'll keep following Casey Danielson on that. That's what's up here on Talking.Golf, powered by @wis.golf on Instagram. Give us a follow. That's @wis.golf. What's next is up next, and it is powered by @wis.golf live. That's our Twitter handle where you can find all the results posted to wisconsin.golf as they go live. That's @wis.golf live. You can check it out. And Gary, Monday, we'll have a Monday qualifier for next weekend's Evans Scholar Invitational at the Glen Club in Glenview. And I wanted to just run through the names that'll be in the Monday qualifier from Wisconsin, because it's kind of like a Wisconsin State Open-like field. We've got Sam Anderson out of Stoughton, his former Badger teammates Griffin Barella and Jordan Hahn, Oshkosh's Nick Bauer, Appleton's Zach Burry, Middleton's Blake Jens, River Falls' Neil Johnson, who just came off a good performance this week at the Scottsdale Open, and Germantown's Austin Konzorski, Oconomowoc's George Kneiser, Rice Lake's Taylor Kozer, Pewaukee's John Langhoff, Mequon's Jordan Niebrugge, Mount Pleasant's Kaylor Steger, and Madison's Peter Webb, and Heartland's Sam Weber. Eight spots, Gary, for the Evans Scholars Invitational. You'd like to think Wisconsin's chances of at least getting two through are pretty good, but if you look at the list, there's got to be 170 names on that thing at two different sites. They're each going to play for four spots. Welcome to the Monday qualifiers on the feeder tour for the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Obviously, the tournament is pretty close to home for a lot of those guys. And you're right. There's some a lot of talent in that list of names you just ran off. And be very surprised if a couple of them don't make it into those eight spots and get a shot at the Glen Club. So that's going to be exciting to see. You know, Jordan at least has some status on the Korn Ferry Tour. I know he struggled with his game at times. But, I saw him play there a couple of years ago, and I think the round I followed him, he shot like four or five under, and he's still very capable of that. So we'll see what happens at the Glen Club.
Both Jordans in the field this week in the Korn Ferry Tour event down in Missouri in Kansas City. Both of them, however, struggling, to your point. Jordan Niebrugge had it going for a while yesterday and took a 10 on a hole. And then Jordan Hahn got into the field as an alternate, jumped past Dan Woltman, who was just ahead of him on the alternate list, but Dan's wife, Marissa, expecting their first child any day. So he's kind of, taking a little bit of a break from competitive golf here for a week or two. And I noticed he is not in the field for the Monday qualifier down in Illinois either. So, it'll be interesting to watch and see who gets through and how they do. Dan Woltman played really well at the Glen Club a few years ago and was able to get conditional status after having no status at all. And that was the middle of the season. So that's what guys like Griffin Brella, because he's still got eligibility left at Wisconsin, but Sam Anderson, who has the Canadian Tour spot, Canadian Tour taking some time off because of COVID. So they've created kind of a U.S. tour for the Canadian Tour golfers that'll be starting up soon. And again, you saw Kaylor Steger and Peter Webb play well at U.S. Open qualifying, Gary. Really, there's a lot of guys that are on that cusp. And as we found, a lot of people pointing to Corey Connors, the guy who led after one round over by you at the PGA, a guy who's really grinded out a career. This is kind of what it's all about for these guys.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Corey Connors, and I'm looking up at the leaderboard. He shot a, great round yesterday here, 67, and he made 7 bogeys today. So that goes to show you the ups and downs of the ocean course at Kiawah Island. I can't wait to see that Monday qualifier and see who comes out of there, Rob.
We wrapped up this week the alternate season high school girls golf with Middleton winning a one-shot thriller over Bayport. Bayport's Joe Baranchuk becomes just the second golfer ever to win 3 Division I or single division state titles. So it was great drama at Black Wolf Run and Kohler. Now the high school boys wrapping up their season. Next week it's conference championship week ahead of regional sectionals and the run-up to Wisconsin Dells Division I. I believe it's at Wild Rock, Divisions 2 and 3 at Trapper's Turn. So we've got that to look forward to. And then another U.S. Open qualifier, Gary, next week, the U.S. Senior Open. And not as many, we don't have as many tour guys on that Champions Tour that need to come back and qualify. I noticed Tim Herron was at the one up in Minnesota last week. But Jim Schumann, Eddie Teresa leading the field at Washington County Golf Course next week for that qualifier. That's always fun. And, this year a little bit earlier on the schedule and, any one of those guys capable, but there's a lot of guys coming up from Illinois that may swipe a couple spots there.
Yeah. And Rob, Brian Brodell texted me this morning and told me that Shu actually qualified for the senior PGA championship. I don't know how or where that was, but Brian said he's going to caddy for him. So, Schumann can do a double here and possibly play in a couple of big tournaments on the Champions Tour.
So that would be, it tells me that somehow, so he might have to WD then from the local because that senior PGA is down in Omaha, I think at the back end of next week, because they always back up the regular PGA championship and the senior. So we'll see if he stays in this field and how that impacts his ability to get into that U.S. Open, senior open. But that'll be a great opportunity for him, and it'll be fun to have Jim Schumann with Brian Brodell in the bag, the former Badger men's golf coach with the former Badger assistant down there at that championship. That'll be pretty cool. But that's what's next year on Talking.Golf, What's Next, powered by @wis.golf live. A lot of results that'll be on our website, but they all go through our Twitter account first. Check out wis.golf live on Twitter, and you'll stay up to date on all the different competitions going on. Takes us now to the AmFam report, powered by the American Family Insurance Championship. Of course, the AmFam Championship, the proud sponsor of Talking.Golf, Wisconsin stop on the PGA Tour Champions, back on the 2021 schedule. Mark your calendars, June 11th through the 13th. My copy says, with the star-studded field featuring tournament host Steve Stricker and defending champion Jerry Kelly, last week, we added Andy North's name to the list of Madison golfers in the field. And Gary, this week, we add Mario Tiziani's name to the list. He was a professional, played on the PGA Tour, the Canadian Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, was a former state open champion, and then gave up professional golf, got his amateur standing back, but now turning professional again to take advantage of a sponsor's exemption. For both you and I, Gary, we have to go back a ways to remember the last time we covered Mario in a tournament of any magnitude, let alone a PGA Tour Champions event. But that guy had a lot of game, and I always thought if he hung around long enough, you know, he would keep himself much like his brother-in-law, Steve Stricker, in the kind of shape he would need to be able to make a go of it on the Champions Tour. And we'll see. He'll get his chance in Madison next month.
Yeah, Mario's always been a great driver of the ball, Rob. He's always been long and straight. In fact, you know, there was a time there when he was a much better driver of the ball than his brother-in-law, although Steve, you know, has really straightened out his driver in recent years. But Mario did have a lot of game, and probably, and maybe still does. We'll find out, but he hasn't played competitively in a long time. He's got to knock the rust off, you know, the competitive side of it. And short game is always going to be, I think, where the question is, you know, how sharp he can get his pitching, chipping, and putting. But as far as standing on that tee with those 50-year-old guys, he's going to be every bit as good as any one of those guys.
And, of course, this is kind of the product of the AmFam Championship switching from a kind of an open championship to an invitational, the tournament with up to 20 sponsors exemptions to give. And I like this idea. I think if Jim Schumann plays well in the next couple of weeks, maybe you throw one out to Jim. And, of course, Skip Kendall has always been very good to the tournament as well. Those are some of the options they have now. And to really turn it into a showcase, I know that right now as we talk, we mentioned that last week on the podcast, Nate Pokrath said at this point, they're limited to the 5,000 that they, the cap. But boy, we're seeing those restrictions relaxed around the state. I'd still like to see maybe an 11th hour appeal to get more guys on the, or more fans on the ground to be able to watch this great tournament.
You know, Rob, wouldn't it be something if they could talk JP Hayes and twist his arm and they're unretiring, come out and play, and then Mark Wilson turns 50 in a few years. Boy, we could have 7 or 8 Badgers in that field in about 4 years. That'd be something else. I don't think JP is going to come back and play, but he's happily retired from competitive golf. But it's fun to see so many red hats and red shirts in that tournament.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. But right now, a great field, and also announced this week a couple other real solid golfers. I believe it was Darren Clark, Mike Weir, and Alex Chayka, who won the Regents Tradition in a playoff over Steve Stricker, coming to Madison. And Darren Clark is to me a guy that you and I can all identify with. I love the way he swings the golf club. You know, it's kind of that old Arnold Palmer swashbuckler type of half swing, but it goes a country mile.
And he's a lot of fun in the pubs, I'll bet, Rob. I'd like to pull up a seat next to him in the pub and have a chat.
Well, maybe we should throw out the idea that we could do our talking.golf podcast from the Draft House in Verona over beers with Darren afterwards. He could be kind of our insider.
That'd be good. I'll count me in for that if you can pull that off, Rob.
You and I lobby for places we can take these guys out for drinks, and our friend Mike Jocks over at Channel 15 in Madison, he's lobbying to be a caddy inside the ropes for the tournament. We all have our agendas, don't we?
yeah. Hopefully we can keep Jocko upright if he's a caddy. That's amazing.
That's right. Well, that's the AmFam report for this week. Again, brought to you by the American Family Insurance Championship, back on the 2021 schedule, June 11th through the 13th at University Ridge Golf Course. Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, Andy North, Mario Tiziani, four guys who at one point or another called Madison home in the field. It should be a lot of fun. We wrap up this week's Talking.Golf with a trip to the Ryder Cup report powered by Kohler Golf. And Gary, I throw it back to you. This is kind of when we hear a lot of buzz about the Ryder Cup, and certainly with both captains in position to make the cut, Patrick Harrington is, I think, 71, 73, if I saw, which puts him right around even par, playing really well in the same group as Phil Mickelson. But beyond that, they've got both guys have to be happy with what they're seeing out of some of their potential roster members for this fall at Whistling Straits. What do you make out of what you see on the leaderboard as it relates to the Ryder Cup?
Well, you know, if Phil Mickelson should go on to win, all of a sudden he thrusts himself into the conversation, whereas a couple of weeks ago, the betting money would have certainly been against him making another Ryder Cup team. But, you know, he wins a PGA Championship, and all of a sudden he's right there in the mix. Steve Stricker was paired with Daniel Berger and Billy Horschel in the first couple of rounds here. Those two guys desperately want to make that Ryder Cup team, and I believe I ranked 9th and 12th in the points. Neither one of them played very well. So that had to be a little disheartening to Captain Stricker to play along those guys and not have them put up some really good numbers. Will Zalatoris is having a pretty good PGA, a guy who surprised everybody with his runner-up finish at the Masters. You know, I keep thinking there's a long way to go before we decide these teams are out, but now that you look at it, there's really only there's less than 4 months before Steve has to name his captain's pick. So time is of the essence, and it's time for some of these guys to step up.
And just so we should make this again a regular segment of the Ryder Cup report, but the Mickelson-Sink pairing, of course, looking pretty solid. Phil Mickelson leading the PGA Championship as we record this podcast. Stuart Sink currently on the golf course on the back nine, even par for the day through six holes, and T16 at one under overall. So, you know, again, some major points on the line this week in the at the PGA as far as the Ryder Cup goes. So you finish high here, you're going to be making a move up those standings. And, of course, as Gary said, we're starting to hit the 11th hour with only a couple of majors left to go, the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, and then we're about a month away from the two captains having to, you know, make their selection. Steve Stricker with six picks beyond the six that qualify on points, so a lot to look forward to. Gary, how about other things Ryder Cup related that you're hearing in terms of fan attend capacities and other things logistically as it relates to what's coming up at Whistling Straits?
Yeah, Rob, you know, Seth Waugh, the CEO of the PGA of America, did a press conference the other day. I wasn't there, but I read the transcript. And, of course, it's been all over the news that they are now predicting, you know, a full fan experience with 40,000 fans on the course. The build-out, if it hasn't started already, at Whistling Straits will be starting any day. And as a matter of fact, David Kohler, Herb Kohler's son, who's now running the Kohler Company and is tournament chairman of the Ryder Cup, is stopping in at the media center tomorrow to see me. So I'm going to ask him some Ryder Cup questions and hopefully have a story for that we'll be posting Sunday on just Kohler's perspective on the Ryder Cup going forward here.
Perfect. Well, it's been fun to watch the championship, Gary. It's been fun to hear kind of the announcers talk and refer to the Ryder Cup, knowing that it's going to be just up the road at Whistling Straits in the tiny little village of Haven, just north of Sheboygan, and from one seaside course to a lakeside course, and one that looks like a seaside course. It's a really, I think, a great year for golf as it relates to what the PGA of America is doing. They've got themselves a great championship this weekend, and they've got the buzz restored for the reboot of the 2020 Ryder Cup here in 2021.
Yeah, you know, Pete Dye designed the Ocean Course, and he designed Whistling Straits, and Steve Stricker the other day was comparing them and said they're actually pretty similar courses, even though one's an ocean and one's a lake, but you can get some strong winds whipping off Lake Michigan in September, so maybe it'll play similar to what we're seeing this week.
Well, Gary, we'll let you get back to business out there at Kiawah Island, and we'll continue to follow your reports all week here on Wisconsin.golf. From the PGA Championship. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
All right. That's Talking.Golf for this week. Talking.Golf sponsored by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Wisconsin stop on the PGA Tour Champions is back in 2021. The tournament will be played June 11th through the 13th at University Ridge Golf Course with Madison golfers Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, Andy North, and Mario Tiziani already in the field. This great event has raised more than $10.2 million for local charities since its debut in 2016. A limited number of tickets will go on sale, are on sale actually, at the tournament's website at amfamchampionship.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. This has been Talking.Golf. We'll talk golf again next week.